Hello, gentlemen. Who all do I have here today?
Hello, we've got James Griffith, who's the director supreme.
Of course.
To win it.
Writer and a fantastic musician, may I be the first to say. And my name is Tim Key. I'm writer and, in it.
Well, let me tell you, number one, James is an exceptional director. I've seen some of the TV, episodic television that you've done over the years, James, but what you do here with Ballad of Wallace Island is absolutely stunning. As I emailed to the publicist, that what you do here, the film, it lulls you along into this world, this moment, and then brings you into a crescendo of lightness, hope, and joy.
Oh, thank you.
This is a beautiful film. And Tom Basden, you are truly, truly a balladeer.
Well, thank you.
I want a soundtrack of your songs.
It's coming out this week. Don't worry, you'll be able to stream it by the end of the week.
Thank God. No, I want vinyl.
The vinyl's coming too, but
okay.
It'll take a little longer because you've got to physically, chisel the rubber or whatever.
Oh.
You've got to make them.
I know, taking those little nails and cutting those grooves into the acetate. Yeah, I know, that's a tough project. And then Tim.
Hello.
I am so in love with
you. Very nice things about those two.
Well, I am so in love. I'm so in love with what you give me as Charles. Charles is my favorite character in this film. And I am in love with your performance.
Well, thank you very much. Very kind.
Okay, we love him. we're all a million miles away from Charles.
We're all very much blushing over here. It's very, very nice. This is our favourite interview so far.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad.
We can all interview without any questions.
I want to ask you, Tom and Tim, obviously, the three of you, this is a follow-up to the short that was done many years ago. The one and only Herb McGuire plays Wallace Island.
Yeah.
So all these years later, you have now crafted the Ballad of Wallace Island. What led to telling this follow-up story?
Well, I think we felt like we had unfinished business with the characters and with the world of the film, to be honest. So after we made the short, the short was nominated for a BAFTA, and it's, we were very proud of it. And whenever Tim and I would do live gigs as a double act, we would often show the short at the end as a way to both pad out the show, but also because we were so proud of the short and wanted people to see it, which is obviously with short films, it's quite difficult to get people to watch any of them. And I think we never gave up hope, or at least never stopped thinking about when we would come back to it. And whenever Griff was in the country, because he was working out here in LA for a long time, we would talk about the short, and we'd talk about the characters, and talk about wanting to do it again. And so I think, we never gave up on it. It's just that other stuff, I don't know, we were all working in different places on different things, and it just took a fortuitous moment when we were all together and we could concentrate on the script and really kind of, create something that we felt like was the kind of the culmination of a long period of work.
James, how early did you come into the mix with this feature? Because so much of this is reliant upon your visuals. Because your visuals are so metaphoric. With the rain, with the storm clouds, the sky is gray, the sea is gray. Herb is anything but happy. Charles is desperately trying to make the best of everything. So the metaphor, the visual metaphor and the tone is just fantastic. So I'm curious how early you came into this mix so you could really think about the visuals to complement and tell this story.
We were sort of in discussions, as Tom said, through COVID, so I was aware that they were going to go off and start writing. And then really early drafts, they were sharing early drafts with me, and my lovely friend Piers Hartard and I scouting the Welsh coast to look for a location. Initially, we were trying to film on an actual island, but that seemed like a terrible idea when I think of it. But we did find a piece of coastland that would work. I mean, as early as I could be, really. We were just sort of all working on it together. We're just a very collaborative team, I think. We all share ideas and share our thoughts around visuals as well as the script and all those things. We kind of work pretty much as a tight team.
Yeah, we made the short in 2006, released in 2007, and it was a case of the three of us thinking it would be good if the three of us make a feature of this.
Yes.
So we were together. I mean, there was very little writing or progress made in those 18 years. But every time we would meet up, the three of us, we would say, we need to do that. Even when we were talking about other films that we were developing at the time, this was always the one after three or four points where we'd go, why haven't we made that? So it was always something we were going to come back to.
Yeah, and I think we were I feel very fortunate with the location, actually. It was very arduous and difficult and remote to get to, but it was the juice was worth the squeeze. It delivered on production value. It was a very hard place. All the crew did an incredible job to get us there with camera equipment across stones and beaches and tides coming in and out. But really, the island needed to feel like a transformative space, like somewhere that was at once timeless, but also that was so isolated that you couldn't sort of escape it once you were there. So it needed to feel like that. And also I think there needs to be a kind of a journey through the film with the island and the relationship of the characters to the island. So when they arrive, it is wet and it's cold. And then Nell arrives and it's sort of sunnier. And then there's this tennis match that feels like idyllic. And then the storm comes. And like we tried to sort of tell the story the only thing that didn't deliver for us actually was the drowning. We really wanted sort of choppy, stormy seas, and we didn't quite get them. In fact, the irony of that is they wouldn't have let us film in those seas. But so the island and the location did become. I'm glad you noticed it. Basically, I mean, it's sort of one of those things you want it to be invisible for an audience, but also it's lovely.
But
to
I think
talk
it's
about.
Also the thing. I mean, I think the locations, the work that done on locations is just incredible in this film, and credit to players for the time they spent doing it, because it really does elevate it and turn quite a small story into something much bigger and more cinematic. And as you say, just gives you these visual metaphors the whole way through. And I think that it's a very different film without those locations. And it's part of the reason it really kind of communicates the message quite powerfully.
Yeah, it was a good 3-4 months walking up the coastal path to find it, but it was worth it.
Okay, now did we have to truck in any rocks, or were there enough rocks on the beach to build all those beautiful little towers that Charles was building?
Yeah, that kind of came out of the opportunity of that space, actually. That was like a great location. Again, Piers found that location really hard to get to and flooded. but yeah, the rocks were there. They were all there.
Wow.
We didn't have those pebbles, don't we?
Yeah, we have pebbles.
A lot of pebbles, a lot of waves crashing over the pebbles.
Yeah, it's
a bit
worth it.
and this, the location really is a character in the film. You're very correct. Without this location, the film would not be what it is and would not be as cinematic and emotional as it is, with Mother Nature and the location providing that metaphor that, James, you and your cinematographer just capture so beautifully.
Yeah, I should give credit to him, actually. He's an Icelandic, slightly miserable Icelandic man. but he does see this kind of light in a very different way, and the way he captures, darkness and light and all those kind of things, he's just got a great eye for the melancholy. So Magni was a very important part of that process or that collaboration. He does see the world in a very specific way. Anyone who grows up, I think, grows up on an Iceland would.
Yeah. I think that light becomes very important and you're very cognizant of it.
Yeah.
More so than if you grew up elsewhere in the world.
Yeah.
But I have to say, your visual grammar is stunning. I'm curious about how the two of you develop the visual grammar as we go from wide shots to intimate shots, you know, the beach, the ocean. We want to see that. We want to feel that. We want that melancholia to match poor Herb. He needs something in his corner. But then as we go into the little shop and carrying the bag of coins, of money, hilarious. But these little intimate moments, these little intimate things, we feel that.
I think that again is another metaphor, isn't it? That they're on this island that's quite expansive and open, and there's horizon everywhere. And yet it's also at once claustrophobic because they're kind of stuck with each other. So all the space is actually, most of the interior spaces are very small, and everything outside sort of delivered on the opening the eyes up and seeing the world a bit more. But I love the shop. It was just a very empty house cottage that we turned into a kind of, there's a lot of shops like that in Wales actually, or on islands where you've got someone who sort of does a bit of bird preservation, runs a shop and lives there. and that was exactly what we wanted it to be. Those spaces are kind of claustrophobic and small and intimate. But also that's the sort of nature of the script was a great roadmap for how we were going to design the rhythm of that, because the way Tom and Tim perform and the way these characters interact with each other, there's a lot of, I wanted to put them in the frame as much as possible together, so you do get a sense of that rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to hold them in these two shots and not miss out on sort of cutting around the comedy or over designing the comedy. But then at other times we kind of do use the edit to kind of elevate a visual joke. So there's kind of, it's a real balancing act, but I think one that we kind of got right.
I think you definitely did. And something that I even made note of, Tom and Tim, watching the two of you, it's almost like a Laurel and Hardy buddy film, but without the slapstick comedy. You have deadpan, wry comic lines that take shape. But it's very endearing watching the two of you as Herb and Charles.
Thank you. By the way, I think that the slapstick, we were keen for there to be, have a slightly slapstick feel to it at times, and to sort of, you know, to have Herb, the proud kind of, Oliver Hardy falling in the sea and slipping on the apple crumble outside the door and stuff. I feel like there are kind of classic comedic elements to that, as you say, that we're both huge fans of particularly silent comedies, and we were very keen to kind of use all of those tropes, I suppose, to kind of like really get as much comedy as we could from these characters.
Got to ask you guys about how tightly you adhered to the script. Or were you able to ad-lib? Because we get scenes such as the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups in the shop. Poor Herb's perpetually wet phone and no rice but pasta. And no towels for poor soaked Herb. It's always poor Herb. But we have dish towels that are actually just paper towels.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, how much of things like that did you script? And how much did you just improv in the moment?
So a lot of it was scripted. And then... We reacted a lot to the great sets that we had. So in the shop, you would maybe turn it towards the stuff that you could see in the shop and things like that. But we're lucky; we've worked together for ages. We had a tight script, but if you go onto someone else's set, you don't feel like you've got the license to come off the script in the same way as if it's literally your script. So we could kind of decide when we went off, and we went off quite a lot. And then we also had Griff, who has a very good, he's got experience working with us. And could work out at times where he could say, fantastic, let's do another one of that. And other times, yeah, that's ridiculous, let's do the next scene.
Gentlemen, I loved every second of this film, every frame of this film. I am anxiously now awaiting the soundtrack and to hearing more of your songs, Tom. And I personally would like to see another chapter of Wallace Island.
Give us another 20 years. And we'll come up with something else.
I'll give you 10.
Okay. Oh,
thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.